Good morning, Joan. Welcome back. Another intense week, I'd say.
Yeah, that seems to be the parola d'ordine,
yes,
the rule of thumb. Exactly. It just describes almost everything. There are some weeks that are more intense than others. But, you know, if we look back at the past week, and this time we really do have to kind of go into last weekend, too, because as our last show was airing, some news actually came out of the press office. And unusually enough, even something like the Vatican Information Service that does not transmit a news service on weekends, they came out with a special edition. Because Father Federico Lombardi, of course, head of the press office, issued a communique, and it was the statements on the sex abuse cases in Germany and attempts by many members of the media to implicate the Pope in this. Because just for our listeners to go back a bit, they may have forgotten that Pope Benedict, former Cardinal Ratzinger, was the Archbishop of Munich for a number of years before being called to Rome. And it turns out there were cases of sex abuse by priests in his beloved Bavaria. And people are trying to now say he had responsibility for that. He knew about it. He actually shuffled priests around and put priests who were abusing people back to work, so to speak. Father Lombardi actually referred to the detailed press release that was published by the Archdiocese of Munich, unfortunately translated into a number of languages, which demonstrated that the Holy Father had no responsibility in this case. And at that time, he welcomed the priests into the diocese, but for treatment. He did not approve of any moving around of this priest. So the sex abuse scandals, which we've been reading about in so many papers these days vis-a-vis Germany, these stories have stayed on the front pages because of Ireland, those
right.
cases which have been in the spotlight for so long, so devastating to Ireland. I mean, the Catholic Church was their other skin for Irish people, in particular the Pope announced at the Wednesday audience that Friday, which, by the way, was his onomastico, his name day, the Feast of St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church and patron of families, the Pope announced that on that day, he announced Wednesday, Friday, he was going to sign this pastoral letter. And you know what? He said this at the end of the audience in English, greeting the Irish pilgrims, because Wednesday, of course, was the Feast of St. Patrick. And the Pope asked the people to please read this for yourselves. And he hopes that the letter will help on the path of reconciliation and renewal.
On Sunday, he made a very poignant address during the Sunday Angelus on the prodigal son.
I really loved this. How many times have we heard the story of the prodigal son, the son who gets his share of the inheritance? There's two brothers. He goes away. He leads this very dissolute life. He's at the point of begging. He's at the point of nighting. He comes home, and his father loves him and forgives him. And, of course, the other son's going, wait a minute. I've been here all of these years. I have faithfully served you, carried out your orders, haven't done any negative things. And how can you be, you know, like this and kind of seemingly shove me off to the side? And what the Pope does, he says, you know, once Jesus told us about the merciful Father, and that's what he's talking about in the Father of the prodigal son, he said, our relations with him are those of a child and his parents. At first, he's dependent on him. Then he claims his own autonomy. And if there's a positive development, of course, this relation matures. And the Pope said that all these stages in human relations reflect the moments of a man's relationship with God. So that's how we really have to think of the Father. He always loves us. He always loves the ones who were good. He's always there for us.
Even if we move away.
But we have to know that Father, in either our earthly Father or God, our Father, is also going to love us if we stray. And I think that's a very important point that the Pope is making, that God the Father has this same mercy as an earthly father does for his child who strays. So I just thought they were remarkable words. The Pope really made me look at that gospel, mm-hmm. I think, for the first time in a very different way.
Light. Mm-hmm.
So God bless you, Benedict.
Who also went on Sunday to visit the Lutheran church in Rome.
He did. It's a small, it's the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Rome. And, of course, they, German-speaking, he spoke to them very much off the cuff, obviously, 350 people. And actually, John Paul had also visited this church in 1983,
that's right,
for the fifth centenary of the birth of Martin Luther. And in his words, the Pope really stressed the fact, okay, we're on the road, we're on the path to unity, we are not there yet, but it's best to say that there are probably more things that we share than divide us. So let's stick on this path. But he made a point that being together, he said, we can't drink from the same chalice. And this, of course, should make us very sad because it is a situation of sin. And unity can't be achieved by man. He made it very clear that this was a gift of God.
Monday sees the release of the message for World Youth Day. I think next year sees the big celebration.
Right. 2011 in Madrid in August. But the diocesan level World Youth Day takes place all throughout the entire world on Palm Sunday.
Every year on Palm Sunday.
Mm-hmm. And then with Pope John Paul, it was every other year they had the international celebration. Now it's we've gotten down in the last few years to every three years. And so the message of was focused on, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And, you know, that's really a speech. If you go, if you want to read it in English, go to the Vatican Information Service because they translated that. It's a not speech, a message. Really wonderful. The Pope says to these young people, you're at a stage in life which you're experiencing change and difficulties and challenges and everything else. And it's a time of discovery. But he said, also try and discover the gifts that God has lavished on you, and also try to discover your responsibilities. And he said, this is the time of fundamental choices. You choose what you're going to do later in life. And kind of sit back and ask yourself a lot of questions. Don't be afraid to ask yourself questions about your future. And don't be afraid to find the answers to those questions. A very, very wonderful message, I think. If I was a young person, no, I still enjoy, the young at heart can enjoy this message as well.
Tuesday was interesting as well, wasn't it? Because finally, Queen Elizabeth herself announced the upcoming visit of Pope Benedict to the United Kingdom.
She did. She said he will be there from September 16th to 19th. And interestingly enough, I had not realized this till the other day, this is the first ever official visit by a pope. Pope John Paul, when he went in 1982, this was a pastoral visit. That doesn't make, you know, it any less important for
Absolutely.
Catholics or heads of state or anything else. But just the fact that Queen Elizabeth announced it. And then, of course, the embassy to the Holy See here in Rome gave us the press release and talked about the Queen announcing this, and then obviously at the same time the government and Catholic bishops' conferences of Scotland, England, and Wales mentioned the visit, and they kind of got into some of the details, not detailed of the program,
right.
But where the Pope will speak, he'll be met at the Palace of Holyrood House, I guess is how you say that.
That's right.
By the Queen. He'll give a major speech at Westminster Hall. He'll visit West Midlands, where he'll beatify Cardinal John Henry Newman. And there'll be a mass in Glasgow, a prayer vigil in London, and an event focusing on education.
Now, on Wednesday also, the Vatican announced a special commission for Medjugorje to be set up within the CDF. What is that about, Joan?
Well, you know, in 1981, six young people said that the Virgin appeared to them it was June of 1981. And they have been saying since then they have been receiving visions. I don't think they still all live in Medjugorje. However, there's been no definitive word from the Vatican ever on, hey, this is another Fatima or Lourdes. We approve of it. We know this has happened. We've got proof or whatever.
Because it's a shrine that draws many hundreds of millions.
Oh, yes, it does.
Yes.
And the story, the thing is, the Vatican hasn't wanted to discourage it until they could come up with some definitive proof one way or the other, simply because why on earth would you discourage pilgrims from going to a place place, making their prayer life better, going to Mass, saying the rosary, making sacrifices, going to confession. So there's good, that a great deal of good that seems to be coming from this. And I know that, if I recall correctly, the Vatican has not encouraged bishops to take pilgrimages, because then that would be a definite sign. Sure, exactly. Yes. That would be kind of like saying, hey, the Vatican does approve. So apparently what this commission's going to do, they say it'll be bishops, cardinals, experts who will work in private, and they'll give all of the results of their studies to the CDF, which, of course, Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. So I think a lot of people are looking forward to that, people who are devotees of Medjugorje.
Of Medjugorje, which is in Yugoslavia. It's
yes,
ex-Yugoslavia.
Ex-Yugoslavia, right? Exactly.
Okay. And finally, maybe we can just mention the catechesis on St. Bonaventure.
Well, the Pope, of course, continues his weekly audiences. He's been doing this for some time now on the Christian culture of the Middle Ages. And he turned again to St. Bonaventure, which, if I recall correctly, we spoke of last week as being part of a paper, a thesis that the Holy Father did many years ago. He had a huge emphasis in his own personal life on St. Bonaventure.
That's right.
So, therefore, he's devoting a number of the audiences to this. He was a contemporary of St. Thomas Aquinas. And so the Pope was contrasting and comparing the two. And he said that whereas Thomas saw theology as primarily a theoretical science concerned with knowing God, theology, ology, knowledge, theo, God, Bonaventure saw it as practical and concerned with what he called wisdom that enables us to love God and conform our wills to him. So Thomas's emphasis was on truth, complements Bonaventure's emphasis on love with the unity of a great common vision. And the Pope does such a wonderful job of taking something so difficult. I think the word theology, the word philosophy, will more or less make people's eyes glaze over if that's not their main focus in life. But yet he makes it so understandable
and
interesting, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So
you were mentioning something that I found very interesting earlier about
Friday. Friday, March 19th, the Solemnity of St. Joseph occurs on a Friday in Lent. And, of course, the rule for abstinence is valid for every single Friday in Lent. We are to refrain from meat in Lent. And interestingly enough, in Canon 1251 of the Code of Canon Law, we learn that when a solemnity falls on a Friday in Lent, that rule for abstinence is relaxed. So anybody who did celebrate with meat, you were doing the right thing. If you knew the Code of Canon Law. The thing is, if you didn't know the code and you had meat anyway, I suppose it's we won't go into the finer details of that.
Okay.
But by the way, that doesn't happen again until 2017.
Oh, goodness.
That St. Joseph's falls on another Lenten Friday. But next year we have the Annunciation on a Lenten Friday. So there's something to look forward to. Next year you can have meat on that Friday, folks.
Okay. Thank you very much, Joan.
God bless.